Right now it is time for sports with Mike Kazi. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm getting ready for my trip to start my second procedure today, and I'll be off tomorrow, my third procedure on Wednesday, and I'll be off that day, and then hopefully back on Thursday. So
okay.
I'm getting all set, getting all ready.
All right.
Even though I had to stop eating last night at 6 o'clock, and I haven't had anything to drink since 9 o'clock, so I feel like I've been parched in the desert.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I want to talk about this in sports, all right? As big of a fan as I am, and I'm a big Yankee fan, big New York football giant fan, and I can remember going to the ballpark in the 50s, late 50s, with my dad to see the Yankees. I remember going to see the New York Giants with my dad when they played at Yankee Stadium. I remember going to the Meadowlands. And it was at the Meadowlands that I started going that I saw for the first time in my life fans that were out of bounds and unruly. Then years later, of course, I went to a lot of Yankee games and saw unruly fans. Now, there's unruly fans in every park of the nation. Not every, but there's a certain almost like badge of honor that goes to New York fans when they act crazy and rude and horrible. And it happened again this weekend where a fan got involved, threw a baseball back at a Red Sox. The fan has been banned for life from every major league ballpark. The Yankees have called for his arrest. It still doesn't matter. It just passed.
Well, de Blasio put him out in the street in 2 hours and he got arrested.
This is just not, sooner or later, some player's going to get killed. It's got to stop. And some fan's going to get killed. I remember when the Red Sox played the Yankees, when the Red Sox wives were harassed.
Yeah, Veritek's wife stepped up and said something about that. That they spit on her daughter walking back to their car because she was wearing her father's jersey. They probably didn't know who she was, but regardless, they spit on a 9-year-old kid. I mean, you're talking about, everybody laughs, oh, the Philly fans are bad. New York fans are just as bad or worse.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
I told you the story when me and my uncle and his son and daughter, they were younger. I was 18. They were probably like 10. We went to a Boston Yankee game in 78 when Boston was collapsing and the Yankees were coming up and everything like that. Sitting in the upper deck was the only seat we can get. Louis Tiant was pitching for the Red Sox. Guidry was pitching for the Yankees. Big top game. These punk kids in the upper deck were drinking beers and then getting pretzels and eating, getting mustard and crumpling up the cups, putting mustard on it, throwing it on people, cursing like they just came out from Iwo Jima, that their lives are back. And my uncle said, would you stop a little bit because I got a 10-year-old daughter with me? They said, F you to him. Next thing you know, we're fighting up in the upper deck. To the Yankee security, they threw them out, not us. And that was good. But it's bad in New York. Yeah. And for the longest time, if I don't remember or not, in right field, the Yankee fans were throwing batteries at outfielders. Yes. But now they decided to throw the baseball that a guy hit over the fence for a home run at the player and hit him by a stroke of luck because the guy was probably so drunk he didn't know what the hell he was doing. There's no room for that.
No.
Is this going to get like, remember when James Caan made Rollerball? And the fans were like animals, and they had to put cages around the roller derby rink. Is that what baseball is going to become?
You know, years ago, my brother Mitchell, I took him to it when I had tickets to the Giants. He's a big Dallas Cowboy fan. I took him to the Giant game, okay, in Giant Stadium. And it was a sad thing for me to say, but I had to say to him, Mitch, I want you to cheer for your team, but just remember, you're in a stadium where Giant fans are going to be extremely rude and nasty to you. So just, and he was fine. But I shouldn't have to say that. He should have been able to sit at that game and root for the team like he wanted to root. But he didn't. He kept his mouth shut. And it's just way out of control.
It's pathetic.
Yeah. And sooner or later, Major League Baseball has to do something about it. This is a first step. Banning the guy from every ballpark, but
well, he should be arrested because let me tell you something. What if you were on a subway and you threw a baseball at somebody?
Yeah, you're right. No, absolutely.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, you're going to get charged.
Yeah. So why not at the field? Because it's a baseball game.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. That,
just because you pay a ticket to go and watch somebody perform doesn't allow you to have the right to do what you do. If you went to a Broadway play and you brought tomatoes and you threw them at somebody on stage, what's going to happen to you in today's world? You might go to jail for 8 years. But it depends. If you do it in New York, you'll be out in 3 hours. But the point is, it doesn't entitle you to do that. You want to boo at the guy, boo at him. The New York people, they curse at everybody. So the players are used to that. But you can't try to physically hurt a player. Yeah. I mean, what did, I don't think it was in the Garden, but remember, what was his name? The crazy, the tough guy for the Bruins, Bobby, what's his name? I can't remember what his name is, an Irish guy. Can't remember what his name was. Remember when he climbed into the stands and started pummeling the fan and threw the beer on him?
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, he's a bad guy. He can't. You sit on a subway train and have somebody pour a beer on you. What are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, put yourself in the same position these guys are in. What are you going to do? I can't remember what his name is. I can't remember. He's the real tough kid for the Bruins. He later became their coach.
I remember that.
Terry O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That's who it was. He finally had enough and blew up and went up in the stands and beat the hell out of the guy. Oh, well.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the thing I wanted to comment about. Now, what do you want to talk about?
Well, we're going to go to racing, but we're going to go to 2 points of racing. Remember how I was saying all year Monmouth Park can't use the whips?
Yeah.
Well, it bit him right in the behind Saturday. Two races. One was a maiden race. Horse took the lead and interfered a little bit with the horse he came over on in the stretch. He was going to win regardless. After a long inquiry, they left the horse up and people went nuts. I'm like, he came over, but the jockey couldn't hit the horse. He's playing by the rules Monmouth Park established. I said, they can't take him down. And they didn't take him down. They left him up. Then in their marquee race, shown on national TV, right in the stretch, by the 16th pole, the horse that was winning, the Charlie horse, can't remember what his first name was because I didn't bet the race, ridden by Flavian Pratt, started to make a left. Mandolin, ridden by Giroux, started to make a right. And Bourbon Courage, or whatever his name was, ridden by Paco Lopez, was behind him. When the four came over on the six, he clipped heels. The horse took two bad steps, somehow didn't fall, but Paco went flying off the horse. So he was unseated. The four beat the three, and the inquiry sign comes up. And everybody's, oh. Well, me and my buddy, I'll leave him nameless, but we're watching the inquiry, and we both agree the horse shouldn't come down. But now remember, there's two things going on here, okay? You're on national TV, and the broadcast goes off at 6 o'clock. So very abruptly, they disqualify the four, who won the race and should have won the race. Now you're talking a $1 million race, gets placed last because the horse that clipped heels didn't finish, so that's where you put him because that's the horse he interfered with. He gets placed last, and everybody thinks it's okay. These guys can't use whips. They're not allowed to use whips. If they use a whip, they get fined and suspended. What do you want them to do? These people think like riding a horse is as easy as driving a car where you can turn the finger with one wheel. The horse weighs 1,200 pounds. You're going 40 miles an hour. You're holding on with a leather strap that you use to sit on the horse with the merry-go-round on, and your feet are in stirrups. That's it. How can you possibly control the horse? The only way you can control the horse is you smack him on the side, you hit him with your left hand and the horse goes right, you hit him with the right hand and the horse goes left to stop him from drifting over on other horses. You can't do that. You're at the mercy of the horse. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. Flavian Pratt was pretty calm when he was interviewed about it. He didn't throw Monmouth Park totally under the bus, but he should have because it's ridiculous that these guys can't use whips. It's like sending, well, I'm not going to use that analogy because it does happen. It's like sending soldiers off to war with Nerf guns and not real guns. It's useless. You can't control a 1,200-pound animal. You can't. It's like, to make an analogy to a person that doesn't know what I'm talking about, it's like walking a dog without a leash. As long as the dog's next to you and nobody's around, the dog's going to be fine. As soon as he sees a cat, a bird, a car, the dog's gone. You can't stop him from going. You can't stop the horse from going right or left when he wants to go that way. So Monmouth Park was exposed on national TV for being the fakes that they are.
Pretty amazing, pretty amazing.
And the PETA people were having a party with it. At the end of the day, they were all outside the track yelling, screaming. I just... No comment.
All right. Well,
so, but the racing, we did good. Saturday, my pick of the day, Rinaldi at Saratoga, wired the field just like I said, won easily, so that was a good one. I said it was supposed to rain Saturday up at Saratoga, so the one stake race, I kind of like botched it up because I did it for the wet. That was the, let me see here. That was the Sanford. So I picked the 5-2, the favorite one, Witt. The best we could do with the 5, he ran third, paid $8.50, but that was aborted because it didn't rain. But the grass race, we nailed right on. Alfequa, who I said would win, won, paid $9.90. The trainer's other horse, Summer Romance, ran second. So we had the winner, and we had a $30 exacta in the stake up the Grade 1 Diana up at Saratoga. So 2-for-2 Friday and Saturday with the stakes races up at Saratoga. So we're back on the horse again.
All right. Now we're past the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox have a half-game lead over Tampa Bay. Toronto 6 games back. The Yankees 7 games back. I think the big surprise, I think you called this, the Chicago White Sox have an 8-game lead in the American League Central. In the West, Houston is on top by 3.5 games over Oakland. The Mets are now down to a 2-game lead over Philadelphia. In the East, Milwaukee has a 7-game lead over Cincinnati in the Central, and San Francisco has a 1-game lead over the Dodgers in the West.
Yeah, some interesting things going on. Staying with the New York teams, though, I watched the Yankees play the Red Sox last night, and the Yankees were stealing bases. They were hitting, they were bunting, they were doing all the things that you never see the Yankees do. You want to know why? Because you got 6 guys in the lineup. You don't know who the hell they are. You don't have any of their prima donna fat cats playing. You have all these kids from the minor leagues that are trying to make a name for themselves and are doing whatever they have to do to win. Kid in right field made a catch. Oh, actually, I think he made the catch. And he hit the wall with his back and went down like he was shot, okay? Aaron Judge, whoever else you want to put out there, they go off, look with their head down, oh, I'm hurting. This kid's like, no, I'm fine, I'm good. You know why? Because if he left the game, he was never going to get another shot. This was his shot to show he can play. And what'd he do later? He stole a base, he got a hit. It's like, who are these guys playing? They're actually playing baseball. So the Yankees are playing better baseball and winning games with the nobodies than the guys that they're supposed to sign to these big contracts. So that's the Yankees, and good for the Yankees. I'm glad these kids are playing good because it just shows what kind of dogs these guys really are. Let's go to the Mets. I should have called you last night and told you to get a toilet bowl sound effect. The Mets are going down the toilet bowl. They were outplayed by the Pirates all weekend. The Pirates are the lowest scoring team in baseball. On Friday night, the Mets were 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position. 0-for-14. They made it look like it was Whitey Ford and Bob Gibson pitching against them in Pittsburgh this weekend. They were lucky to come back and win yesterday. They only won yesterday because Pittsburgh's one of the worst teams in baseball, parallel with the Mets almost. And the final flush down the bowl, the Grom is out. Without the Grom, the Mets are one of the worst teams in baseball. They're only a couple of games over 500. They're only a couple of games in first place. And the difference between them and the rest of the garbage in the National League East is the Grom. The Grom is out now. The Mets are done.
How long is he out for, they say?
Nope. He's shut down. So that could mean anything.
That means big trouble for the Mets.
Hit that toilet bowl sound effect. There go the Mets, right down the toilet bowl. They're done. What's today? July what?
July 19th.
July 19th. Write it down. The Mets are done.
Amazing.
D-U-N. Done. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you depend on something, on one player.
Well, you know, all of these Mets fans are going into the year. Oh, the Wilpons are gone. We're back. We're going to... How are the Mets any better this year than they were last year? They went out and signed Lindor. Guess what? Lindor's out. Lindor's hurt. He's not playing now. Not that he was doing anything really good, but he was a threat at the plate instead of the replacement shortstop they got, and he was 100% better fielder than this guy. The Mets are finished, absolutely finished. DeGrom is out. Lindor's out for all he did. The guys that they got coming back, they couldn't hit the floor if they fell out of a chair. The Mets are done.
It's looking real bad for New York baseball this summer.
Well, I'll tell you what, like, you know, I hate the Yankees, yeah. You know that. But it was good to see the way they played last night.
Yeah, but are they going to keep it that way?
No, let's put it this way. A team in front of them, Toronto, they shut out the Texas Rangers, albeit seven innings. They pitched two shutout seven-inning ball games against the Rangers yesterday. I think the scores were 7-0 and 10-0. Toronto's the team that's going to overtake Boston because Boston's pitching, slipping, and they're not hitting like they were. I mean, against the Yankees this weekend, they struggled to put up runs, and the Yankees' pitching staff is by no means anything that's going to shut somebody down except when Cole pitches. So Boston's fading. The Mets are fading. Toronto's playing good. The Rays will stick around. And out of the National League East, I don't know who's going to win it because they're all playing bad, but I know it's not going to be the Mets.
Interesting baseball season, as bad as it is, and as bad as the play has been, really.
It's been bad. I went over a friend of mine's house, stopped by. He lives by the beach last night, and he's a big baseball guy, and we were talking about it, and it's an unwatchable product. He said it. It's all strikeouts and home runs. There's no baseball being played. He said, you got to get rid of the shift. And I said, yeah, all you have to do is hit the ball or bunt the ball the other way and get on base every time. That'll end the shift. But these guys, I don't get paid to hit ground balls. You get paid to win baseball games. You'd win it any way you can. If hitting the ground ball where nobody is to get on base to start something up and win a ball game is what you got to do, you got to do it. I got to try to jack it out. All right. Whatever you say.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yep. Well, I mean, with kids playing, if they ever put a shift on, you tell the kid hit the ball the other way, he does it. If he says no, you could put him on a bench. What are you going to do with these overpaid crybabies?
There's nothing you can do.
You'll lose your job before they lose theirs.
Yeah. Nothing you can do.
Nope.
All right there, Mike. Well, I will speak to you again, on Friday.
All right. Do you have any way for me to leave a pick, or you just don't want to do it?
You know what? I do have a way to leave a pick. What you can do is, I'm trying to think this over here now. Text me the pick. Text me the pick.
Text it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what I'll do is I'll make sure I get the pick up on the air.
All right.
All right?
You got it. Good luck.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Mike Kosky with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.